إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I remember a couple of incidents which I want to mention for you. One was I was very young. I was maybe 12 years old or something. I had gone to the chicken market in Nampally. So this is like it's like a quadrangle, and in the center is an open area. So these chicken sellers, so I'm now talking about the 60s, chicken sellers, they also slaughter the birds and they skin them and so on, and they, you know, defeather them, and then they give you the dressed chicken. So you buy the live one, then they slaughter it in front of you, and they, and all the offal, they throw it in a heap in the center of this market, and it stays there. I don't know how, once in how many days they remove it. So it stays there, it putrefies, it decomposes. So, when I entered that marketplace, this smell of putrefying meat hit me. And it was so obnoxious and so horrible that I almost vomited. And with great difficulty, I had to buy the chicken. So, I went there and I bought the chicken and got it dressed, and I came out. I mean, this happened in the 60s. To this day, I remember it. That was how bad it was. But one interesting thing I noted was, while my chicken was being prepared, that these chicken sellers, they were sitting there, they were absolutely happy. Nothing, I mean, they just did not smell that filth. And they were having tea and they were joking and so on and so forth. And absolutely no effect of that terrible smell on any of them. And I recall to this day thinking to myself that what kind of people are these? I mean, either I am wrong, something is wrong with me that I am smelling this, or something is wrong with them that they are not smelling it. Another incident, I was slaughtering an animal, and there was a friend of mine who wanted to see how the animal is slaughtered. So I told him, have you ever seen it before? He said, no. I said, don't see it. He said, no, I want to see it. He said, okay, see it. So when I slaughtered the animal and the blood, you know how it spurts. So the blood, like a fountain of blood coming out. Suddenly the thud, and I see this chap is on the ground. He's out cold. He's fainted, completely lost consciousness. And that is a big problem. Now you revive him and all of that. Third incident, my father was a surgeon. And he used to take me sometimes into the theater. So he was doing, removing kidney stones in one patient. And this is long before all this laser surgery and everything. This was, your hammer and tongs kind of surgery. So amazingly skillful surgeons. So I remember very clearly that again, in that theater, when the incision was made and blood started flowing, I didn't faint, but I was distinctly, I was dizzy for a while, and I had this very sick feeling in my stomach. I was almost afraid that I might end up vomiting in the theater. I'd probably have been hanged or something if I did that. And then I came home, and I couldn't eat after that for a long time. There again I noticed that, however, not only my father was a surgeon, but there were nurses there, ladies, some of them maybe 4 foot nothing, and absolutely no problem. I mean, they were handing out the instruments, and operation happened successfully. The guy was cured of his kidney stones. Point I'm making is, that there is this element of what in Urdu we call his, this element of consciousness, the element of feeling, the element of sensation, which is the sign of life. When that element goes, then that particular individual or that particular thing is dead. The same thing applies to the heart. I don't know how many of you have seen doctors certifying a person as dead. I have seen that. So when you bring the person and they say brought dead, I'm not talking about using sophisticated instruments, I'm talking about somebody, a doctor just doing a test. You know, the doctor doesn't tickle the person to see if they laugh. Yeah, they don't tell them a joke and see if they understand the joke. This, you know, this person is lying there. This, before you pronounce it as a body, here is this person lying there. So they don't tell them a joke or they don't tell them some great masala of fiqh so that they will stand up and say, mashallah, fantastic deduction. They give them pain. They will pinch them or they will take a pin and stick it in the body. Or what I have seen them doing is they open the eye and they stick their finger into the eye. That's a very highly sensitive thing. I mean, try it and see. Open your eye and stick your finger inside. See how you feel. And when there is no sensation, when there is no reaction to that, you stick the finger in the eye, still nothing happens. Then this is the patient is dead. So it is the ability to feel pain. It is the ability to feel something, and especially the ability to feel pain, which is a sign of life. If you can still feel that, then it means that there is life, you are alive. If you, the time, the minute you don't feel it anymore, you are dead. The same thing applies to the heart. The same thing applies to the heart. As long as you feel pain, your heart is alive. And you have to say, Alhamdulillah. Don't cry about the pain. Say, Alhamdulillah, my heart is alive. Yesterday, somebody sent me a photograph of a stage on which there is this lady singer. She is singing some qawwalis, these devotional songs. And she is accompanied by a tabla, by a harmonium, by a keyboard. And there are these people playing those. And the backdrop of this stage, right, the wall at the back, the backdrop of the stage, is a huge poster stating that this function was a function about the fundamentals of the Quran. And on this poster were the names of some very famous luminaries, ulama, who are teachers of Quran, who are experts in Islamic law. So when I saw this photo, may Allah protect me from friends who send me these photos. But anyway, they sent me. So since they sent it to me, now it becomes my responsibility to do something about it. So now when I saw this photo, the first thing I remembered was my experience with those, with that chicken offal, with the rotting intestines of chickens and that smell, and how I felt the smell, and how all of those other people whose, I'm sure that nothing was wrong with their noses, they didn't feel it anymore. So I saw this photograph and I said, now either I am completely wrong, that I feel that something is wrong that is happening here, and if I am wrong, I am willing to apologize to anybody on the face of the earth. I am willing to take my amama and shine and polish their shoes with it in public, on a stage. And if I am not wrong, then I want all those ulama and luminaries to tell me who made music halal when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it haram. And who made this permissible, that you have a function in honor of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this function you have something which Allah has prohibited. I mean, seriously, the question I ask myself is, are we trying to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we trying to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then when I was reading my this morning, I come to this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمْ مَنْ يَأْتِي إِيمَانًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ اِعْلَمُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, those who reject and those who turn away from our ayat, they are not hidden from us. Here Allah is talking about those who turn away from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think they are hidden. Allah is not talking about people who are turning away from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a public stage. Dunke ki chot pe Allah ki nafarmani ho rahi. Allah says, verily those who turn away from our ayat are not hidden from us. And Allah says, is he the one who is thrown into the fire better, or he who is secure on the day of resurrection? And then Allah said, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Allah says, do whatever you want. Jo karte karo wala Allah ta. Says, do whatever you want. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. You want to disobey? Disobey. You want to challenge me? Challenge me. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Verily, he is all seer of what you do. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you are doing. Don't think you are escaping. You're not escaping. You are not escaping. You will not escape. You are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Don't think you are escaping. You cannot escape. Nobody can escape. I seriously ask myself, and I remind you to ask yourself, are we alive or are we dead? What is it? Because if I am alive and the hukum of Allah comes before me and I do not obey this hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I go against it, then I have to ask myself, do I have iman? Do I have iman? Allah said, Aqimu Salah. Allah said, pray, and I don't pray. Allah said, this is halal, but I don't do it. Allah said, this is haram, but I do it. Our problem is, today, we have taken things which are haram. Some of them, we treat them as haram. Others, which we like to do, we treat them as halal. We have converted the haram into halal. For example, in this Fajr reminder, if I say suwar, this is for my Arab friends. Suwar in Urdu means pig. Suwar in Arabic means pictures. So if I say suwar, you will say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Suwar ka naam kaisa lete sa. And a lot of Urdu speakers, they say khinzir, and they think that is in somehow cleaner than than suwar. I mean, if I tell you, here is a nice, wonderful English breakfast, which is bacon and eggs or kippahs and bacon, you say astaghfirullah, aapko sharam nahi hai, what kind of a human being are you? What kind of Muslim are you? You have no shame, you have no nothing, you are offering me bacon. But if I tell you that, well, here are tickets to the box in Malakpet to the race course, you will say, Vasubhanallah, what a wonderful friend of mine. And if I say, here is a free membership of Sikandarabad Club, you say, oh my God, fantastic. Jannat Allah ko rakh lendo, mere kya karna ye bas hai. Hai nahi, main jhoot bol raha hu. You will organize a function for in the name of the Quran, and then you will have a woman singing there, knowing fully well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made music haram. So what we like to do, which is gambling, which is alcohol, which is drinking, we don't mind our name being listed in the members of an establishment, which is one of the reasons for that establishment is to facilitate drinking and gambling. You don't mind your list, your name in that. You don't say, astaghfirullah, my name in this bunch of sharabiyon, juwariyon ke adde mein, mera naam kahin koi re bhai. Nahi, wo haya khatam ho gayi. You don't mind your name being listed as a member of a gambling den, horse racing. Not only do you not mind your name being listed there, you take it as a matter of pride. But when it comes to eating pork, to wo bhi karo na bhai. Do that also. This picking and choosing with what Allah has made haram, this is the haram of the haram. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't think you are hidden. Allah has seen you. Allah knows who you are. Allah knows what you are doing. Do whatever you want. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do whatever you want. Until that day when you will see the malaika. Until that day when you will see Malakul Maut. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there are dogs in your house, don't keep dogs in the house, because if there are dogs in your house or if there are pictures in your house, then angels will not come into your house. Right? But believe me, if you are sitting on a dog with a dog in your lap and another dog sitting on your head, Malakul Maut will come. Don't think the dog will keep away Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut will come. And then what? اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Allah said, do what you want. Sing and dance and do your music and your gambling and your alcohol and your fornication and do whatever you want. At the same time, stand for the haqq. Don't fear anybody. What will happen? Somebody will kill you? Alhamdulillah. You have been praying for shahada all these years. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me shahada. What will they do? Let them do. That is one more in their favor before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, you will stand there. They will also stand there. Allah told you to do something? Do it. Amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. Allah said, enjoin the good and forbid the evil. The ones who are not doing that, they should fear it. And say, how is it that I call myself an alim? I am a graduate of such and such a madrasa. I am the head of such and such a department. Yet my tongue is tied. Yet my mouth is shut. Who am I fearing? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. It is so painful, it is so shameful. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ourselves. I fear the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu on this community. I hope I am completely and totally wrong. But I fear this. Because when people get to this stage, where they openly challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and where the so-called ulama have no shame And they stand hand in hand with the people, the jahilun, who are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then await the azab of Allah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ